Today on Movie World, as we talk about Predator, Badlands, Is This Thing On, and Die My Love. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And YesD as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Hello again.
Hello.
We've been all engaging in a little extracurricular activity that we'll finish up after this podcast.
Yes. Are we going to talk about that?
Why not?
We're going to be making handheld pies, let's call it that, from different places. We are going to be making Ghanaian meat pies and Indian samosas.
Well, it was all supposed to be samosas, but this morning I woke up with a flash of inspiration thinking a Ghanaian meat pie,
which is something we had
in Ghana, is not a million miles away from a
samosa.
Every culture, it seems, has like
an empanada,
yeah. A samosa.
Yeah.
Every culture has an empanada, like, and every culture seems to have
Cornish
a dumpling.
Pasty. Yes.
A dumpling like thing.
It's true.
Cornish pasty. That's
yes.
Right.
Yeah. Or a sausage roll, even.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
I
might
think
be
a Cornish pasty is.
That's a little weirdly too British, I think.
Yes.
Sausage roll, but. Yes. So. Rashmi was busy this morning. She made some fillings.
Yes.
I 50% made the shortcrust pastry for the Ghana pies.
Yep. And Yazdi's gonna help make the pastry for the samosas.
Yeah.
So.
And then we're gonna feast.
Fun times.
Okay,
fun times.
But that means we need to get this one done.
We do
quickly.
Need to get crack-a-lackin'. Right, so
crack-a-lack-along.
No film review picks. Sorry, no streaming picks again this week, unless we throw one in, which I might do during one of our reviews. I have an idea of which.
I know which one you're going to throw in.
Let's.
Isn't it funny? We're always rushing, either because we're going to go and eat somewhere, or meet someone to eat somewhere, or just eat.
Yeah, this
we should just do a podcast about food.
Yeah,
forget the movies.
I say the podcast almost gets in the way of our eating.
I know.
So let's get moving.
Okay.
Beginning, I guess, with Predator: Badlands.
Okay, I have the intro for that. And that is Predator Badlands, stars Elle Fanning and Demetrius Schuster, Matangi.
Wow, you've had there's a lot of syllables in the name.
Koloa Matangi.
Okay.
It's set in the future on a remote planet where a young predator, outcast from his clan, finds an unlikely ally in Thea, played by Fanning, and embarks on a treacherous journey in search of the ultimate adversary. This has a big cast led by Elle Fanning and...
In two roles.
And Demetrius.
Yes. And Demetrius. So let's just leave it there. But this is directed by Joe's friend Dan Trachtenberg.
So can I speak to
yes
that?
You can.
So
let me just say, and written by Patrick Aison and Dan Trachtenberg.
So Dan Trachtenberg, as a director, he directed 10 Cloverfield Lane, he
yes.
did Prey, he's done this movie here. There's a dotted line between Dan Trachtenberg and the existence of Movie Wallahs. So about yes. 10
Giassi didn't even know
yeah
this.
No so uh-huh. probably around 2007 2008 there was a YouTube show by a company called Revision 3. They were doing internet TV, and they were doing long form YouTube videos before YouTube was and there was a show called The Totally Rad Show,
yep.
which did movies, video games, and other pop culture kind of stuff. Dan Trachtenberg was a member of that, and he led the movie segment. So by becoming a fan of The Totally Rad Show, which is still available on YouTube, right? It's like you can go back and look at archives of it. Mm-hmm. That was a direct inspiration for how we started Movie Wallahs. I thought the three of them doing reviews and the format that they did was something that I was like, we could have fun doing that.
Yes.
That looks like fun.
Yes.
I'd like to do something like that. So
thank you, Dan Trachtenberg.
Dan Trachtenberg, the director, has... and as a result, I think I've followed his career because, you know, I knew him as a critic and as a filmmaker, I guess, long before he kind of got Hollywood fame. So... really always pleased to see when Dan Trachtenberg's name appears on a movie credit.
Okay. So, Yazdi, why don't you go first? Because I know of the three of us, Joe, you are probably the big Predator fan from back in the day. And Yazdi, I'm not sure if you love those movies. I know you love the Alien universe. I don't know. Do you love the Predator universe?
I mean,
much?
I'm very ambivalent. I like the very first Predator movie which came out, but there have been a gazillion since.
Yeah.
I haven't kept up with it.
Okay. So what did you think of Predator, of Badlands Predator?
So, you know, we
Predator Badlands.
So we saw this in an RPX kind of screen, big one at Regal IMAX theater. And my reaction to this is very similar to what we had for Tron: Ares, in that I went in not expecting too much, but I was just, it's just a great, great, great ride. It's marvelously mounted together, considering that all of it is world building. It's all set sometime in the future and future planets. It seemed reasonably believable. This movie entertained the life out of me. But, you know, when I think back on it, you know, maybe a week after having seen it, it does seem a little bit like a big video game. So that's what I have against it. I don't think you need to know too much about, you know, the whole mythology of Predators, and, you know, because Predators started off being the bad guys, and now they've kind of morphed into this morally ambiguous tribe of, you know, Predators. In fact, I remember the big thing about the original Predator was that it can disappear, and it can become, it cannot disappear, it becomes invisible. And that is barely played for in this movie, like maybe twice in some flashbacks does the Predator become. So it seems like they have come a ways from where this franchise started out. But I think as a simple, you know, well-constructed action thriller with lots of fight scenes, it does its job and then some.
Joe?
I mean, everything you said about the Predator franchise holds true here, and it's odd to me that very much the bad guy. And I haven't followed the series. So there was Predator, then we got kind of a series of comic books of Aliens versus Predator, which kind of mashed the Alien universe and the Predator universe together. There's a little nod to that here with the Weyland Yutani vessel and humans.
From Aliens,
and yeah. And the cyborgs, androids kind of thing. So they're bringing all of these kind of themes together in a comic book world. And there have also been a series of comic books around the Predator. So I'm not into any of that. So, you know, when the movie first began, I had to kind of, you know, if we'd been at home, I'd have, you know, tried to adjust my set. I'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And so it was a little jarring to me at first. You know, here's what I wrote when I came out of the movie. It's like, this movie shouldn't work. They've taken, they've taken a bad guy and made him completely sympathetic. But it does work, and it works brilliantly, and it almost should collapse under its own absurdity, in the sense of, like, you know, the Predator is the bad guy, and yet, you know, and they don't make them good either. You know, he's not a good guy, but we are bizarrely sympathetic with him and his plight throughout the entire movie. So it was exhilarating, propulsive, and surprisingly heartfelt. There's an emotional core through this. You know, you can't examine it too much because it follows every single beat of, like, the Campbell hero's journey, right? You have the old world, the new world. You have the fun and game section. Then you have the all is lost, and you have the prevent. You know, it's by the numbers type of filmmaking, but it lands so perfectly with such a punch. This is one of my favorite movies of the year. I loved this movie.
I love this movie too.
I love this movie.
I really enjoyed the pants off of this one. I haven't even watched the first Predator, but asked Joe a whole bunch of annoying questions before we went in about, like, what is this and how is this and aren't there tons of movies? And Joe gave me a very simple explanation. And you're right, Yazdi, you don't need to know anything before you really go in. I really like the construction of the movie. There's almost two stories going on. There's like an A plot and a B plot, which work really well together. There's a lot of heart and emotion. There's all of this, you don't know you need someone But when you get with that person, you know, great things happen in some ways. I love the effects. There's some really good effects. Like Elle Fanning is this weird cyborg and there's only half of her at times. The only thing I didn't like is what the Predator looks like. It was so annoying. That little, the teeth outside and then the kind of the exoskeleton and then an internal.
They were kind of stuck with that. And I'm amazed they made that work.
Yeah, they did make it work. But that's the only thing that bugs me because it looks like he has dreads, which feels so, I know it was a character that was cast in the 80s, but really?
Well, not cast, like created.
But like kind of cast in stone in the 80s.
Oh, I see. You know? Yeah.
That really bugged me. That's the only thing. Otherwise, I thought this was a great movie. It's really fun. It's really like a good ride.
I mean, you're right, Joe, in that it follows exactly, you know, any kind of hero's journey. It's the, not the ugly duckling, but it's the one sibling who's beaten down, who everybody looks
beat. It is kind of the beat. Ugly duckling.
Beat for beat, yeah. Ugly yeah. duckling.
There's a great book on down. Screenwriting called Save the Cat.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Which lays out this structure perfectly. Yeah. This is exactly that.
Yeah. So it just follows that the whole way. I do agree that the special effects are very good. They're very believable. You know, I've never been very impressed by Elle Fanning. I mean, she does very good work on that Hulu series.
Yes. The great,
yeah. But, you know, she can, I think when given the opportunity, she can really deliver. And, you know, she plays two very different roles here. And I think, I think it's, Roger Ebert always used to say, it's not what a movie is about, but it is how the movie is about what it is about. So I think it's the how part, which is important because it's just so sturdily put together that the characters, where they came from, doesn't matter because, you know, there's no shortcuts used. It's a lot of hard work. It kind of takes its time to build the emotional beats. You know, you don't see any characters behaving weirdly for cheap laughs. None of that. I mean, I think there is a very workmanlike quality to how it's been all put together. So it's honestly, it's like going on an amusement park ride and come, you know, and the ride is over and you come out and say, hey, that was fun.
I mean, to talk about Elle Fanning here, I mean, I think, you know, the reason her role is so important is because, you know, our hero here is like full of vengeful rage, right?
Yeah.
And so she provides that like, you know, humor, humanity. Mm-hmm. And it was a little off-putting at first. When I first saw her, I was like, oh, you know, here we go, the jokey sidekick. But again, the movie weaves in so much heart and connection. And Rashmi, you said it earlier, right? The need, the fact that they need each other for reasons that aren't, you know, obvious at the beginning, she has no legs, she needs him to get around. But then, you know, the way that the story kind of develops that relationship over time and the physics of it all just works brilliantly. There's stuff here that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Like the Elle Fanning, two halves of Elle Fanning having a fight. You know, it's just so inventive and playful.
Yeah, that was,
you know,
a great scene.
Like razor grass and, you know, we had like these things called Lana bugs, which, like, all of these little set pieces.
Yeah.
Because they're so scripted tightly, one after the other after the other, it kind of reminds me of Tron in the pacing. Yeah. You said it, Yazdi, but the pacing is what really separates these types of movies from ones that work and ones that don't work. Because we're never given a chance to necessarily have a breather. We don't need that breather. They just keep us like at that edge of entertainment all the way through.
Yeah, and then, Joe, were you going to mention the movie Prey? That we watched
as a pick, Prey, and also Predator, right. Killer of Killers,
right? Because Prey
I was just seeing there's another 2025 animated movie called Killer of Killers from Dan Trachtenberg, not overachiever much.
Correct. I didn't know about this until after I'd seen Badlands, but obviously, you know, you go and you when you see a movie you enjoy, you kind of go read up about other things, especially when it kind of came for me out of left field. I didn't think I was going to love this as much. So he did a movie called Killer of Killers, also like very critically well received. It's over 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's fully animated. And it's like a little anthology in the Predator universe. It is nothing to do with Badlands, from what I can tell. We haven't completed watching it. Rashmi and I started watching it last night. It's just part of this Predator universe. And again, the Predator is very much the antagonist in what we've seen so far. So maybe that changes. So, you know, Badlands is just like a complete, you know, U-turn in terms of, you know, putting the Predator as the main protagonist in the story.
Yeah. And I thought Prey is almost the same story, but the roles are reversed. Prey is actually very, very good. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
It's a great observation because we hadn't seen Prey.
I love Prey.
P-R-E-Y.
E-Y.
Yeah.
With Amber Midthunder.
Yeah.
Who was in that other movie we saw. Anyway, we hadn't seen Prey. So I said to Rashmi that we should probably see that as a prelude to Badlands.
And that was from 2022, yeah.
It's available on Hulu streaming.
It's been on Hulu forever, yeah.
Yeah. Again, just a different take on the Predator universe. So again, it's kind of like, you know, some of the Star Wars expansions are really nothing to do with the original franchise. I think this isn't really much to do with the Predator
Amber
franchise.
Amber Midthunder is from Novocaine.
Thank you, Novocaine. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so
let's sum this one up. So, Yazdi, why don't you go first?
7.5 out of 10. It's just such a good ride. It's so well put together. I mean, a lot of those special effects should not work. They should look stupid and defying logic, but they look very, very believable. So a lot of people have worked overtime to kind of present a nice little piece of entertainment for us. I mean, again, people are so cynical these days and they're like, everything is crap and nobody bothers and everything looks like, you know, it was generated by ChatGPT. This is not generated by ChatGPT. There's a lot of hard work which has gone in. You know, if you're like having a bad day, if you just want to be entertained, you could do much worse than watching Predator Badlands or do a back-to-back Predator Badlands and Tron Ares. They're both really well put together, entertaining films.
Did you give it a score? 7. Yeah.
7.5 out of 10.
Which
I'm going to keep at 7.5. No. I'll back down to 7 then.
Okay. Yeah. Joe.
There isn't anybody I wouldn't recommend this to.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a movie tailor-made for me, right? It's sci-fi, it's action. This is the kind of thing that reminds me why I fell in love with movies in the first place, right? This is Joe as a kid getting a story that's not super sophisticated, but just raucous fun from beginning to end. So, you know, it really is well calibrated to the kind of movie that I like the most. And so, you know, for me, it's easily one of the best movies of the year. Total popcorn fun. 9 feels stingy. I really want to give it my 10. But no, I think the movie has some fun. No, effort. Yeah, 10. I mean, I love this. I'm going to buy this movie.
Yeah.
Like, this movie will be part of my collection. I can see myself watching and re-watching this kind of thing because it's so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. We should ask people to go see it in the theater.
Yes,
and you should see it in the theater. You should, because it needs to slap you around with its
with the sound,
thunderous sound effects. I mean, it's just
the
so
scale,
well done.
The scale is fantastic.
It's so well done. It's so well executed. Yeah,
and that was that cute. What was that thing called?
And it shouldn't
the
work.
Side little
the Kullisk, yeah.
The Kullisk, the baby Kullisk.
That is, played by our cat Ellie.
Yeah, yeah. We were just like, oh, that's like our cat Ellie.
It's so much fun.
It's so cute. It's an 8 from me. This is a fun time at the movies.
It's not for everyone, but for
I think it's a fun time at the movies. Is like, you know, you can take grandma after Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah,
everyone can go and see this. There's nothing
objectionable.
Yeah,
I think
there's nothing objectionable.
Well, there's some crazy violence in but it's comic book in nature.
Yeah, it's comic
right
book.
Like it's aliens and you know this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, when you think about, if you want to make Police Academy 17, right, you bring it to someone and I'm like, okay, fine, I'll make you a number 17 Police Academy, but it's going to be crap. So I mean, maybe this is not the best analogy, but it's the same way. This is like the 14th or the 15th movie in the series.
Yeah.
And it just says that it doesn't matter what came before it, but if somebody works hard on it and kind of is really invested in it and who's really good and understands the language of cinema and how to create pacing and how to create characters you care about and how to be creative, then it could be number 17 Police Academy and it could still be very, very, very entertaining.
Correct. Yeah, there's not a scrap of I hate to say this to about the filmmakers here, but they haven't tried to do anything, you know, superbly novel here. They've just executed on every level of filmmaking. So, all right, let's move on then. Our next movie is This Thing On?
No, Die My Love.
Okay, we've changed it around. Then let's switch around to Die My Love.
So I'll introduce.
Sorry, that wasn't a sentence like Die My Love. It's the next movie.
Yes, my love.
So director Lynn Ramsey has been making movies for a long time. Her first feature-length movie was Ratcatcher in 1999. So she's been doing this for, you know, more than a quarter century. I never seen Ratcatcher. I'd always had good things about it. But subsequent to that, she made a movie called Mauvern Collar, which I did see. It has a very young, what's her name? Samantha Morton. It is a very young Samantha Morton. But I think the movie which really clinched for me that this was a director who knew what she was doing was the movie We Need to Talk About Kevin, which came out in 2011. And I think her most recent movie was the Joaquin Phoenix movie, You Were Never Really Here, which I did see, and I'm not the world's biggest fan of Joaquin Phoenix, so I'll leave it.
It was okay.
I will leave it at that.
It was okay. It was just okay.
So Lynn Ramsey, I think, has made a name for herself in terms of making movies that are very visceral and very guttural and very emotionally raw and kind of, you know, have a sense of frayed nerves about them. And, you know, she's probably working with the biggest stars that she has ever worked with, because this one stars Jennifer Lawrence as well as Robert Pattinson. And the one-liner for the movie is that Grace, a writer and young mother, is slowly slipping into madness. Locked away in an old house in and around Montana, we see her acting increasingly agitated and erratic, leaving her companion Jackson increasingly worried and helpless. This seems to me yet another movie in the genre of, you know,
motherhood.
No, motherhood is not fun.
Yeah, maternal crisis. I'm going to coin the phrase.
Yeah, you're creating a new genre.
The writers for the movie are Enda Walsh, Lynn Ramsey, and Ellis Birch. And the movie also stars Sissy Spacek. So I am eager to watch this movie. I haven't had a chance to see it, but I know the both of you saw it. I should also mention that none other than Martin Scorsese is a producer for this film as well. So that says something if he's put his stamp on this film. So by all accounts, this is supposed to be a very visceral film. Tell me if we should watch it, if I should watch it in particular.
Indeed, it is a very visceral movie. This did not work for me. So like you said, Yazdi, it's in the same vein of Night Bitch and Tully and If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. I don't know if it's just exhaustion from that genre, maternal crisis, did you call it, Joe? Or that there isn't enough of a narrative between Jennifer Lawrence just acting crazy. It just didn't feel like there was enough to hold it together to give it a true beginning, middle, and end that I could hold on to. So not one of my favorites. Didn't work for me at all.
You know, I'd like this a lot, but it's a fever dream of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's slapped together narratively, kind of loosely, right? We go from scene to scene. There's a lot of things that aren't explained, and so it's kind of frustrating. It's really wonderfully shot. Like, there's a texture and a color and an Americana to this world that is just, it's gritty and it's dirty, and the emotions are raw and over the top and played. The acting is phenomenal.
Agree. The acting.
And so I found this
fantastic
thing, like, oddly compelling in spite of itself, because I think other than the subtext of she's having a hard time coming to terms with, you know, parenthood and life in general. There's kind of a lot of things that are, it feels like Terrence Malick-y, like it sweeps from scene to scene, but there's a lot more dialogue, right? There's a lot of acting in this movie, and these people are, all of these actors are doing like wonderful work, but it's a messy patchwork of a thing. But honestly, you know, as the credits rolled, I was like, there's something about this movie that intangibly I liked. It kind of, you know, I hate to use the right comparison to Mother by
Darren
Aronofsky.
Yeah.
Because of the, you know,
the crazy.
It's simply because, is my brain making that connection because Jennifer Lawrence is in the lead again?
It's similar. It's actually the same thing I thought.
It's got that same kind of feel, and it's powerful. And like, as a film lover, I think, you know, people need to watch this.
Really?
Yeah. Let's talk. I mean, clearly it didn't work for you, and I'm just trying to kind of pass out why.
And maybe,
because this,
and maybe it is because it's so reminiscent of Mother, mixed with Tully, mixed with Night Bitch, mixed with If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. So to me, it was kind of all of those in a pot.
Right. Being a mother, having a young baby sucks is basically the genre, right? Like, that's what these movies seem to be attacking, that children are, having children is difficult for the mother. That's what they all seem to be.
For all mothers, but for some people,
it's a real struggle. And that's okay. I think that's a really worthwhile cause to put on the screen. The problem I have is that a lot of the movie is Jennifer Lawrence, you know, walking on all fours, pretending to be a cat or a dog and barking at the dog and being naked, and I feel like it doesn't do a good job in explaining what's going on. And it doesn't really seem that she's struggling with her baby per se, because she loves her baby. The issue is with her partner. And I couldn't find a narrative to hang on to. It's just scene to scene to scene, her doing crazier things from scene to scene.
So,
and there doesn't seem to be any reprieve from that.
So I'm just looking at a movie that I watched like when I was in college, Betty Blue.
I love Betty Blue.
The director is, where you have this kind of unhinged, slightly psychotic female character who does great damage to herself.
It's a descent into madness.
Correct.
And so, yeah, and that's the same.
This movie, the Jennifer Lawrence character in this movie kind of already starts on the edge.
Yeah. But,
you know, that slow kind of progression. It doesn't quite go into the full on, you know, insanity that Betty Blue, you know, the self-harms type stuff. But,
well, I mean, it does. I mean, she ends up.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It does.
I guess it does. So there's a parallel between that movie and this. And so I think maybe the character here is perhaps a bit more compelling, because I like that kind of film, where we kind of see the world kind of slowly unravel around the protagonist, and you don't know where it's going. You don't know really what it's saying, other than it's trying to give you a viewpoint from a perspective, of a character who's really struggling, not in a sympathetic way either. But
I haven't read the book.
It's based on a novel by Arianna Harwix. And actually, Martin Scorsese read it and recommended Jennifer Lawrence for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And again, I think the title is strange. Is it Die, My Love, The Love I Have for Someone? Is it Die, My Love, as in, I love you, now go ahead and die? Is it, you know,
all of the above.
Die, My Love. You know, again, I just didn't.
I think that's up to you as a viewer to make
and
your
I
mind
think
up about
that. When you watch a really good movie, none of those things matter. But when you don't enjoy the process, then you're like, what am I even watching? It was a struggle for me to get through this one, really. Again, I will say it's a fantastic acting vehicle for Robert Pattinson and for Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, it's great work, but when I compare, I feel like Jennifer Lawrence is almost at, like, I would caution her, she's doing this kind of like crazy descent into madness, over the top, versus, you know, something a bit more held back, like she was in, like, say, in Hunger Games, or was it Winter's Bone? Mm-hmm. It's a much more reserved role. Here, it just feels batshit. And the more batshit she does,
yeah,
it doesn't add anything. I'm kind of distracted.
In this particular example,
yeah.
Right, yeah, your batshit is my edgy.
Sure. Right?
Like she's going through her kind of, to use a music analogy, she's going through like her Radiohead phase where right. she's doing noisy, angry, yeah. brave roles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, this character is not one that
it's unhinged.
Any of us
yeah.
Will fall in love with.
Right. Like,
this character is dark and broken and so and angry. There's a lot of rage within this movie as yeah. well. You know, so I mean I think, you know, for me, as an actor, this has got to be something really juicy.
Sure.
Robert Pattinson, we have to also say,
yeah.
he's also carrying that kind of, you know, angry drama. You know, these are people with high amplitude emotions, right? This is kind of the movie of like if two manic depressives fell in love with each other, yeah. right? And then you just see this explosion that happens
yeah.
With the world around them, kind of, you know. So
let's wrap this one up.
As a wrap up, I'm going to say, I mean, this is a film lover's movie. I'm looking at on Rotten Tomatoes right now at some of the audience scores and yeah. people like, I left after 40 minutes. Yeah. It was all over the place, yeah. you know, bit too edgy, you know. Yeah.
And that's a big difference between the audience score.
Very slow and uninteresting. Yeah. I didn't find that at all. Yeah. I found this movie oddly compelling in spite of itself. And so I was with it all the way through. Can I say I loved it? No, but as an important piece of film, I think you should watch it. I think people should watch this. This is 8 out of 10.
And I'm the complete opposite. I'm with the audience this week. So it is like above 75 for the critics, 80-something, I think, on Rotten Tomatoes. The audience score is 44. I'm with that. For me, it was like a 4 out of 10.
That's really interesting that yeah. we responded differently to it.
I will watch it and I will be the yes. decider vote.
That's right. Yes. Yasti will be the arbiter.
I suspect you will like it, Yasti.
I like it, yeah, probably.
It just didn't work for me. And again, maybe it was also frame of mind, right? We had some sad news. And so I don't know that was the right movie for us to watch. On that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go on to the last one then, which is This Thing On? And I am doing the intro for that. So this is the movie I've been anticipating for a long time. Bradley Cooper of Maestro fame last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. Was Maestro last year?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. Written by Bradley Cooper, Will Arnett, who I love, and Mark Chappell. This is the movie Is This Thing On? And the synopsis is, as their marriage quietly unravels, Alex, played by Will Arnett, faces middle age and an impending divorce, seeking new purpose in the New York comedy scene, while Tess, played by Laura Dern, confronts the sacrifices she made for the family, forcing them to navigate co-parenting identity and whether love can take on a new form. So again, Bradley Cooper is in the movie. He's directed the movie. He's produced the movie. And he also wrote the movie. And it also stars a fantastic cast. Will Arnett, Laura Dern, Andra Day, Bradley Cooper, Amy Sedaris is here as well. So, Yazdi, what did you think of Is This Thing On?
So, this to me feels for me like a departure of sorts for Bradley Cooper because, you know, he broke onto the stream as a director with A Star Is Born, and then he did Maestro. This is a smaller scale film. It's a more intimate film. It is very obvious to me that this is somebody's life story. The last title card in the movie says this is based on a...
Correct, it is. It's based on a true story. Yeah, of a man in the UK.
Oh.
Yeah, it's actually based on a man in the UK who ended up becoming a...
You watched the Smartless podcast?
I listened to the Smartless podcast,
So you probably heard a lot of background on it through that?
Not so much, okay. But I did some reading about it, yeah.
I don't know if I'll remember this movie at the end of the year, but I think while I was watching it, I was enthralled. The movie which I kept comparing it to in my mind as I was watching was A Marriage Story
yep.
with Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson. And I think that movie, A Marriage Story, had such a big walloping influence on me. It just devastated me. This one, maybe it's the nature of how things play out, because some of it is funny, some of it is bittersweet, some of it is happy. Ultimately, it didn't feel credible to me. And that's a weird thing to say about a movie. And listen, I love Laura Dern as an actor. She's terrific. Will Arnett, I've only seen him play very funny roles. Mm-hmm. I think this might be his first big dramatic role. He's mm-hmm. the lead here. He seemed a little bit one note to me, but maybe I'm being unfair. But I think the reason why it didn't seem credible to me is because with that casting, there's nothing wrong with the two of them. I just did not believe that they were together at any point. There was something about them. I didn't sense a mutual shared chemistry of a couple which has been together a long time. So maybe that's a Yazdi problem. But for me, it was an okay movie. It's very personal. It's well made. It has a good heart. I just wasn't devastated.
Joe.
Yes, that's a very astute Harsh. Observation. No, because I mean that's exactly you were able to articulate why this movie was not sitting like super well with me. I admire a lot of things. Will Arnett was so good in this, mm-hmm. and I think all the performances are good. And I think Bradley Cooper as a director, these are far more comfortable pants for him than like The Star Is Born or
yeah.
Maestro, with a big sense of grandeur and self-importance. This is a small movie with a very, like you say, warm, homely, intimate was the word I think you used, Phil. And so I agree with everything. Look, I mean, was it engaging? Absolutely. And, will it be a next Netflix pick for me at some point in the future? It probably will. This is exactly that kind of movie. But yeah, it felt distinctly middle of the road for me, right? Nothing memorable. Again, I feel like Yazdi and I are on the same wavelength as far as this movie is concerned. I like many things about this movie, I just didn't love it.
I love this movie. but I am very partial to Will Arnett. Again,
he was really good in it.
You know, I love listening to the Smartless podcast that he does with Jason Bateman and Sean Hayes, who also makes an appearance in this movie. I love Arrested Development. I've heard great things about, BoJack Horseman. He's done a lot of this comedy stuff. And I think it was a really endearing, raw performance by him. I do agree that Laura Dern, although she was incredible in this movie, I didn't quite get the chemistry between them.
Yeah.
But I think each of the performances were good. I think it's no Marriage Story. That's kind of what I said to the rep on the way out. This is no Marriage Story because it is more comical. It is based on a true story. But I like that it explores how you have to find yourself and love yourself and be true to yourself before you can be true to someone else. Right. Mm-hmm. So I really do like that key theme of many couples go through this journey in their long marriage, when there are children involved, where you can grow apart from each other and you can change yourself so much that you don't recognize who you are anymore. And so I think it does a good job without hitting you on the head with a hammer around that, how important it is to be who you are and pursue your own dreams so that you can pursue dreams together. So I like that aspect of the movie. I felt like it was a nice, gentle journey that we go on. I like the other couples. I thought Bradley Cooper was great in this. There's like an interesting, story going on in the background. He's a little batshit. I like this
element.
I know
what he was meant to be.
Yeah.
But he didn't pull it off for me at all. He just sounded like a dope.
He was the most misjudged character in the whole
thing. Really?
It's too broad.
Yeah,
I don't know what he was doing.
He was supposed to be the friend who, when you go to them with your problems, they talk about their problems. I think that's
who he was narcissist. Meant to be.
But instead, he was just a dope.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I know what you're trying to do with this character, but you're not like...
For me, it worked.
Get back behind the camera, please.
For me, it worked. I thought that it was very, the co-parenting, the parent, what do you do when you are, again, like we know people who split up and you like both people equally. And what if that's your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law? So for me, it really worked. I thought this was a really cute holiday movie. I agree. Like, it's almost Hallmark notched down about three degrees. It could easily have turned into a Hallmark movie. Maybe it needed a bit more grit.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I did, to give credit where it's due, the thing I did like about this movie is it's never shrill, because yeah. a movie about two people separating yeah. can become very shrill and nasty about
Correct.
Each of them going after the other and kind of trying to claw them down. I mean, both of these, for the most part, they're respectful of each other. They've shifted apart. They've drifted apart.
Yeah.
But they both mean well, and they both mean well for the kids. So I like seeing yeah. that aspect of a story where, you know, they're not each other's enemies, mm-hmm. right? So I really like that part. The part I did not like, and which again begged for credibility, is it just seems to imply that anybody can walk into a mic night and talk about their life's problems and become a stand-up comic. And then suddenly you are like playing at the Comedy Cellar, which is the number one comedy spot in the US. And I mean, what he was saying during his supposed comedy acts was heartfelt, but it wasn't funny. So that whole piece felt a little too easy to yeah. me. But again, it's presumably based on a true story. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been to an open mic night, so I don't really know who does some other than, like, I would imagine it's aspiring comics.
Right, right.
Rather than somebody trying to get a cheap drink. But, I mean, the movie has a lot of writing missteps like that because, I mean, you know, there's a very important scene in the movie which is based around a coincidence that I just didn't buy at all.
Yes.
Right? Like,
me know. Too.
But it's based, that
when
is,
two,
I did something.
When two people
yeah.
show up at yeah. the same
but
spot.
That is actually
yeah.
what happened.
Yeah. So don't right. set it in New York.
Right.
Set
right.
it in small town America sure. where there may be only one or two places that
yes.
like people
Correct.
Might go
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
In the evening.
Fair.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, for it to be New York and for that coming together to happen in the coincidental way it was portrayed, I was like, give me a break. That should never have been my reaction in that moment, because it was such an important scene of discovery of the characters for the characters. But I was literally like rolling my eyes at that. I was like, look, okay, I'll give you a pass, but you know, just barely.
So we need to move this thing along.
So I mean, with that comes my score. There's a lot of charm to this film, and mm-hmm. I really, you know, did enjoy the characters and the portrayal. It just has a lot of missteps, but for me, it's easily Bradley Cooper's best movie.
Yeah,
right. So what? So far, yeah, I didn't buy a Star
directing,
Wars
directing,
yeah,
directing
what? As the director. And Maestro
Born is so good.
It's, I mean, okay. Yeah, didn't love that movie.
Yeah. Okay.
So for, you know, I think he's let's stay okay. here, Bradley. For me, you're going to get a 7. And, you know, when you come out on streaming, I will gladly tell people, you know, Friday night, want something easy, enjoyable, warm, fuzzy, go
yeah.
watch it.
Yes, Dee.
I'm somewhere between a 6 and a 7. I think the script might be the weakest part of the movie. I think they could have also done a little bit better chemistry testing for yeah. for the two leads. I mean, they're both individually, at least Laura Dern, you know, she's Oscar winner and so forth. And there are enough plot contrivances which kind of pulled me out of it and made me feel it was less credible. So it's not Kramer versus Kramer. It's not Marriage Story. It's not that, you know, punch in your gut kind of movie.
It's not hefty.
It's not hefty, but yeah. for what it is, I think it's perfectly good. I don't know why Sean Hayes is in that movie. It's just completely wasted.
Friend.
I know, but it's just a waste. Yeah. But
expenses yeah. paid trip to New York.
Yeah,
come on,
I think
bud.
So. I think so.
I would
yeah.
do the same for you if I got one.
Yeah. Thank you. I would love to be in your movie.
I will do the same.
Okay,
for you.
Thank you.
If I've got a lead role, you're just going to show up as background, okay. but we'll have
Happily.
Fun.
As long as I have two lines of dialogue in the movie, you make. I'll be there. Okay. 6.5 out of 10, which You know, people can watch it 7 out of 10.
Oh,
really? See, I thought you were going to go under 5.
Well, by the way, you guys, it's not a bad film at all.
My score is only one more digit above yours, which is an 8. I absolutely love this movie. But again, I'm very partial to Will Arnett. And it just worked. It worked for me. I mean, I love the Bradley Cooper, Andra Day coupling.
Oh, Andra Day was so good.
She was very good.
Andra Day is very good in this. She's amazing.
We know all these people, right? We know facets of each of the people who are in the backup. So, and I love that it's based on a true story. It actually happened. So
I actually thought this was Will Arnett's story. So,
well, there's probably elements of it, right? So for those who don't know, he was married to Amy Poehler, and they had
what?
Really? Yeah. Will Arnett and Amy Poehler have 2 sons. They divorced.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So maybe this is his. Okay.
You know, I think there's true elements of it.
I didn't know this. Okay. The E Hollywood part.
Samosas and Ghanaian meat pies. Okay. You might have to take photographs of them.
Waiting. We certainly should. I'll put you in charge of posting them to Instagram. Oh, how about that, okay. Rashmi?
Yes. I'm so bad at that.
Okay. Let's wrap up. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for watching. Do check out our YouTube channel, like, subscribe, and comment. We'd love to get your interaction there. We're trying to build those numbers. So appreciate you as always. It's busy. So we will be back soon enough with more podcasting fun, at least until the end of December. So, which is where things are kind of crazy. So until then. Too many movies, too little time, as always. A goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.